Like you also, I am a member of many different organizations, like a lot. So like pulling out my wallet this morning, I'm a member of AAA, I'm a member of a health insurance company, I'm a member of Safeway Club, I'm a member of Costco, I'm a member of American Express since 1985, I'm a member of Dick's Sporting Goods, I'm a member of Lou's Sandwiches, I'm a member of Volcano Curry, right? I'm a member probably of places I can't even remember I remember that. So I have a ton of memberships everywhere. And the reason why I become a member somewhere is simply because there's a benefit to me, right? And so there's a benefit of some tangible reward, right? I get something out of it. Or I get some kind of pleasure because I'm a member of some organization. Or in some way it benefits my life or the people around me. And that's why you become a member. Now, let me just ask you, how many of you are members of at least one organization? Raise your hand. How many members are of at least five organizations or companies or businesses? I'm going to keep going up. How many of you are members of, think in your head, about 10? Right. This includes Jamba Juice and the boba places, all right? And I'm sure that if you had to answer the same question, why are you a member there, you would answer similarly. There's some sort of benefit. And so sometimes when we think about committing to a church in membership, we similarly think of the same way. Oh, I'm a member here because there's some benefit to me. I'm a church member. Well, let's talk about this morning. We're in this commitment series. I want to talk about what does it mean to be committed to a church, but specifically membership to a church. Now, some people say membership is necessary, absolutely necessary. If you're going to come to a church, you should absolutely be a member. Other people say, well, it's sort of optional. You don't really need to be a member. I think the majority of people are actually sort of in between. Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, sort of optional. And so they're in between. Most people have this vague sense that a Christian should be involved with the church, absolutely, serving or attending at least. But they would not say that membership is, you know, the most important thing in the world. They just wouldn't say that. Don't make, you know, as a pastor, hey, Pastor Jack, don't make a big deal out of it. You know, it's just membership, right? And some people, I think, would hop around churches for years and years and years and not become a member anywhere, and that's okay to them. Here's my experience at Golden Gate. I've been here going on 7 years about, and this is what I've sort of gleaned. Some of you have been members for forever, right? Maybe you grew up in this church, you've been going here for decades, you became a member a long, long time ago, and you just love it here. Right, you were the membership of Golden Gate as a badge of honor, and so this is you. Some of you have come more recently. Most of you fall in this category have come during my tenure here, and you just come and there's something about Golden Gate that's just clicked with you. You like the people here. You like the fact that we're a Christian Reformed church. You know, you like the activities that would happen here, and immediately you wanted to become a member. It's like no doubt in your mind. And I think there are some of you who are attending and you basically choose not to become a member. You just say, I don't want to become a member. Maybe you've been attending for years. You don't want to join. You might be serving. And you just think, well, membership is not a priority or it's of no importance. So this morning, I sort of want to speak to you, if that's you. So my goal here this morning is to show you that membership is important and why it's necessary. Why it's necessary for you, also necessary for me as a pastor and for the leaders of this church to want you to become a member of our church. This is sort of a two-part sermon. I'll continue it next week about different aspects of membership. But I think with some regularity, some Christians, maybe most Christians, sort of underestimate church membership, the idea of church membership, or they belittle it, or they criticize it. Definitely misunderstand the idea of church membership. Some Christians believe church is a club, right? It's an organization that you join. It's a social club or some charity, or you come to church for self-help so you can get better at things. Some people believe church is a voluntary organization where membership is optional. You don't need to become a member. Some Christians believe that church is just a friendly group of people sharing and talking about religious topics or religious themes. Some Christians believe that the church is a service provider where they come and get things that they need. And the church doesn't have the ultimate authority. The customer, the church attendee, has the authority. So if you believe that you have the authority to conduct your own Christian life in your own way, then you probably think it's fine to attend a church indefinitely without becoming a member. You probably also think it's okay not to sort of integrate and engage your life with other Christians Monday through Saturday. That Sunday here, this morning, is, I'm here, it's cool. I don't need to do that the rest of the week. If you think you have the own authority in your life and in the church, you will make major life decisions, taking a job that takes you out of the area, taking a job that maybe gives you crazy hours. You'll make those kind of decisions without consulting and thinking about the church. If you think you have the ultimate authority over the church, then you don't realize you are partly responsible for the spiritual lives of other people around you. Scripture tells us that when one person rejoices, we all rejoice. When one person grieves, we all grieve. That's the life of the body. However you might think of church, I want you to know this. Church and the idea of church did not originate with any human being. No man or woman sat down and said, let's organize together and become a church. Church exists because Jesus called it into existence. Jesus called it into existence. A verse out of Matthew, some of the very last words that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, all authority. That means he has authority over governments. He has authority over creation. He has authority over every creature, over on the land, the sea, and the air. It includes authority over the church. Jesus is the ultimate authority. The buck stops with Jesus. So Jesus appoints pastors and elders and deacons to lead the church, absolutely. But Jesus is the final authority and power over the church. And so we think about it, and some people say, well, where does the word membership appear in the Bible? You don't see that word anywhere. The problem when someone says that is usually they're looking for a club to join. The word membership is a club word, right? You join a membership in a club. So, you know, I pulled out my American Express card, and the tagline for American Express says, membership has its privileges because you join that club. So if you think of church as a service provider, for people who want to gather together for a common need or a common interest, you'll think of it as a fraternal club. Fraternal clubs have memberships. Political parties have memberships. Businesses have memberships. Fitness clubs have memberships. But let's change it up a little bit. Maybe we can see church from a different angle. Instead of seeing church as an organization that exists to give you something, see it as a people of a kingdom, a people of a nation. So if you look at it that way, you don't use the word membership when speaking of citizens of a nation. You don't say, oh, when did you become a member of the United States of America? Right? You don't say that. You say, when did you become a citizen of the United States of America? So churches are more than merely gathering points of common interests or common needs. Churches, Christian churches, are about a king who requires obedience of his people. The king is Jesus, who's Savior and Lord, and Jesus died on the cross for the sins of everyone who would desire to follow him. The Bible doesn't talk about church membership the way we want it to. Instead, it talks about how God's people gather together under Jesus. It speaks of citizens of God's kingdom, not of club members. The Apostle Paul, writing to churches, said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of the nation of heaven. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. So let's change the metaphor up a little bit. Instead of describing church as a club or a service provider, okay, with the idea that we are citizens of a nation, let's think of the church as an embassy. An embassy. An embassy is an institution that represents one nation inside of another nation. The Chinese government has an embassy down Gary by Japantown. That embassy, the Chinese embassy, represents China inside of the United States. The British consulate is downtown. The Russian embassy is in Peck Heights. Or did they close that? They closed that. They kicked them out. But the purpose of an embassy is to declare its own home nation's interest to its host nation. Does that make sense? That's why there are embassies. The United States has embassies all over the world in different countries so that we can communicate our interests to that host nation. It also serves to protect its own citizens living in that country. So, for example, if you're traveling overseas and you have a problem with some legal problem or a problem with your passport or something, you go to the United States Embassy because you are a citizen of that embassy, and that embassy is to solve problems in that host country. So think of the church as an embassy, right? Our nation is not here. Our nation is in a place in the future. But our host nation, our host country, is this earth. And we have embassies everywhere. Everyone who follows Jesus will gather at the end of history. But we represent Jesus here and now in the church, in this embassy. Jesus did not leave us alone to govern ourselves. He left the church for us so that we would be encouraged as believers and give shape and direction to our Christian lives. Earthly governments are not careless about who they recognize as their own citizens, right? Just think about what's going on in the White House, in the administration. They're trying to figure out who they should let in as citizens and who they should kick out as citizens. Same thing. Why would Jesus of the universe care any less about who he calls as his citizens and who's recognized as a person who can sit and stand in that embassy? If there's a big idea I want you to walk away with this morning as we just change up this idea about how we think about what church is, it would be this idea that Christians don't join churches. They submit to churches. Christians don't join churches. They submit to them. From a non-believer standpoint, someone who has not chosen to follow Jesus yet, no one has to join a church. It's just a voluntary organization. I mean, really, what do you get out of church, right? If from a non-Christian's perspective, it's like, you don't have to join. Just go, enjoy. But from a Christian perspective, it's not voluntary. It's a submission issue. So once you choose to follow Jesus, you must choose his people too. It's a package deal. You choose Jesus, you choose the rest of his family, and that family that you choose to be in is a local church. Jesus means for you to willingly submit yourself to become a member of a church. In the New Testament, Christians all over collectively identify themselves as a church, or they identify themselves with churches. Let me read some verses out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Saul, just tells us, was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged men and women and committed them to prison. So it doesn't say that he just was ravaging these followers of Jesus and throwing them in prison. says he was ravaging the church, a body that was seen as followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So there was a church in the city of Jerusalem, a local church. They met with the church. They taught many people who were associated with that church. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made by the church. Again, a local group of people who identified themselves as followers of Jesus, and they said, we are the church. We are this church, this local church. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. When Paul and Barnabas arrived and gathered the church together, they declared that all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. They arrived there, and what did they do? They didn't say, hey, you and you and you, come here. They said, the church, we need to gather together. You people who are called the church, come here together. Acts chapter 15, verse 3. Being sent on their way by the church, Paul and Barnabas passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversions of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the brothers. Right? They were sent by an organization, a local church, not by just a few people, but by the church. So the author of Acts uses the word church to identify people who would gather together and identify themselves as the church. In the New Testament, the life and authority of the local church was shaped and oriented by its members. What did the members do to create the church? Acts chapter 2, verse 42 describes the beginning of what we call the church. The new believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul. So at the very beginning, where Jesus left the earth, he went up to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down, this thing called, we call church was created. And this is some of the verses that describe this. So in the first few weeks, the first few months of this church, there was an authoritative structure that was set up. There were the apostles, and then there was a body called the deacons that was set up to be in charge of different ministries. Individuals were baptized. People were added to the church. They gathered to hear teaching. Additionally, many committed to live their lives around the lives of other members. It wasn't just they came and they were isolated. They came on Sunday, said, hey, that was a great sermon. They went home and spent their Monday through Saturday by themselves. This is what happened. They were eating meals together. They prayed together. They spent time together. They shared their finances and property. They took care of the widows and the downcast. So just from the book of Acts, you sort of get this idea that in the New Testament, to be a Christian is to belong to a group of people who have identified themselves and called themselves the church. They're not just a follower of Jesus. They are the church. So people repent, they're baptized into a church. Being a Christian means to be united with Christ and immediately united with the church. They practice church membership without ever using the word membership. You cannot talk about a local church without talking about its members. Yes, you can talk about its pastors, its leaders, but almost invariably you talk about its members, the people at that church, the members of that church. Just like you're trying to talk about a family. You can't just talk about a family. You talk about the members of that family, right? Or the members of this team. That's how you talk about organizations. Talk about just individual members. What's the big deal about having to join a church? Why should you even think about joining a church? Well, I think we should think about two ideas that are intertwined. One is activity, and the other one is institution. And when we're talking about church, they're intertwined. And when you separate them, you get a mess. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's talk about marriage, for example. There are many activities that married couples do, right? They live together to make a home. They have children. They have marital intimacy. They do things that are enjoyable. They go out to eat. They go on vacations. They go to movies together. Those are activities that they do. But then there's this institution of marriage, right? And so it's an agreement between the husband and the wife. The institution of marriage separates the husband's relationship with his wife from all other women, and vice versa. It gives structure, it gives framework for doing those activities as they were meant to be. Unfortunately, many people in our culture today just want the activities of marriage without the institution. They think it's great to have fun together, maybe even have kids together. So this is why couples who live together is on the rise, because they have not merged the idea of activities of marriage with the institution of marriage. We see the necessity of both activities of being church and also the institution of being church in the New Testament. They are merged together. So, for example, when Jesus was speaking in the gospel, he mentions just the institution of church maybe a couple times, right? But he talks about the activities of the kingdom, if you're a follower of Jesus, talks about activities almost 50 times. When Paul comes along, he mentions the church as an institution over 40 times. Yet he only mentions what he do as a follower of Jesus maybe less than 20 times. So as an aggregate, as a whole, you see that there's a balance between what you do as a Christian, all these activities, and the importance of the institution of the church, and they cannot be separated. Jesus and Paul tell us that. Jesus talked about the activities of the kingdom, and Paul talked about the church as an institution. They connected them together. So that's the big deal. I think if you separate activities without having the institution and the importance of the institution, then you don't have the structure that you need to do those activities the way God would want you to do them. If you don't care about the activities and all you do is you just are part of the institution, then you're not really living fully the way God wants you to live as a member of the church. So I've been using the phrase local church, local church, local church. What is the local church? If I could bullet point it, it would be something like this. It's a group of Christians in a regular gathering. It's a congregation exercising affirmation and oversight. It represents Christ to the world, and they use preaching, baptism, and communion as a means to that end. So it's a group of Christians. So for our church, or our local church, for you to be a member here, for you to be described as part of this local church, you need to be a Christian. You need to be a follower of Jesus. You need to believe that God did not want your life to be the way it is today. God made man and woman perfect, but because of the influence and the sin that came into the world, it train wrecked all of humanity. And so we are born sinners. We can't get rid of it. But God loves us to an infinite degree and showered mercy and grace upon us, so that when Jesus came, he bridged the gap, took all your sins, all my sins upon himself, upon the cross, defeated sin in your life and forever, so that by faith you can be a follower of Jesus. When you become a follower of Jesus, you should become a part of a local church. We meet regularly. Our biggest gathering is Sunday mornings. But many of you are involved in small groups or fellowships that you meet regularly also. That's what people do when they're part of a church. We affirm each other. We give oversight to each other. I'll speak to more of that next week. But as a church, we represent Jesus Christ to the world. And so when people say, oh, you're a Christian church, there's very little explanation that has to go about, oh, so why do you exist? We exist because we want to worship Jesus and point to Jesus. And so we do that by preaching, which is preaching and teaching, which just explains the Bible, explains God's ways to people by exhorting, encouraging, confronting, rebuking even. We do it by baptism because it publicly identifies people in a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We do that through communion, which is a public proclamation of remembering Jesus' death and resurrection. We do all those things. So when you come here, you have the sense that we are the embassy of the church, of God's kingdom. And these are the things that we do so that we can communicate Jesus to the world. Remember my big idea is Christians don't join churches. They submit to churches. So when we talk about church membership, what is church membership? If I could throw up these bullet points. Church membership is a declaration of citizenship in God's kingdom. You're creating a formal relationship between you and a local church. Local church affirms your faith. It promises to give oversight to you, and you submit to the authority of leaders. So again, it's a declaration of citizenship that you declare that you are a follower of Jesus. And by becoming a member in a local church, you're creating this relationship between yourself and this church. Not every church, this church, this local church. Because you want to become a member here, our church affirms your faith. That means we have this relational connection to you and promise to give you oversight. That means we promise to try as best as we can to give you personal growth, maturity, and encouragement in all walks of life. And you submit to the authority of the leaders. So as a pastor and as elders and deacons of this church, we are responsible for you. And we do what we can to make sure that you are growing in the best possible way. So we have an authority over you, but also we have this heavy responsibility, and we take that seriously. The local church takes specific responsibilities for you, and you as a member accept specific responsibilities as a member towards the church. Talk about that next week. So you just don't come and receive, receive, receive. You also have responsibilities as a member. Now, I'm going to say something here that may be a little sensitive, okay? But because when we're talking about church membership, I also realize that members of other churches don't attend that church necessarily. They attend other churches regularly. Right? Does it make sense? So some of you may be here attending our church, but you're a member somewhere else. Now, let me be honest with you, okay? The way I just described what church membership is and what the local church is, it basically means that Golden Gate Christian Church has no authority over you. We have absolutely no authority over you because you're a member at a different church. More than that, we have no responsibility over you because you're a member at a different church. Now, there may be reasons that you want to keep your membership at a different church. Oh, I grew up at that church, you know, I have these emotional attachments there, or I like my name on their membership roll, or, you know, I became a member there a long time ago, and, you know, I never transferred my membership here. It doesn't matter what the reason is. I want you to understand, because you're a member there, technically, that church has authority and responsibility over you, not Golden Gate. That's a big deal, okay? Because as a pastor and elders and deacons, our responsibility is to our church members. And we spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of focus just pouring into how can we engage our church memberships, in a better way so that they can be salt and light to the world. So I want you to think that if you're a member of a different church, you've been coming to our church, you ask yourself why. Now, that being said, will we care for you? Of course we will, because that's a nice thing to do, and it's the right thing to do, okay? I don't want you to feel like I'm going to kick you to the curb, okay, or I'm going to ignore you because I'm going to talk to a real church member, all right? That's not my point. My point is I want to elevate the idea that church membership is important. And your membership to our local church is important. It should be important to you because it's important to me. I want you to become a member here. And if you're not a member here and you're holding your membership somewhere else, think about why that's so. Why are you doing that? And if you have questions about that, then come talk to me or talk to any of the elders, all right? Because we'd just love to have a conversation with you about that, okay? In the Bible, there are many metaphors for the church. It talks about the church being a body, a flock of sheep, a branches of a vine, a bride, a temple, a building, a people, a royal nation, a royal priesthood. We use the phrase, the church is like. The church is like a body, it's like a bride, it's like a temple, it's like a family. Metaphors help us see what church members should be like. Because there's always the opportunity for us to be so much more than what we are. We're not just a gathering of people. We're more than that. We're not just a priesthood of believers. We're more than that. We're not just branches of a vine. We're so much more than that. And so I just love the way that the Bible describes what the church is like. Because it gives us the opportunity to do so much more in our lives, in our church, to experience and share the beauty of Jesus Christ in so many different ways. So let me touch on an issue that some Christians, maybe many Christians, even myself at one time or another, will experience. I think every church member, every church attendee, everywhere knows that sometimes life in a local church doesn't always feel interconnected as much as you would like it to be. Like, you don't have that social connection as much as you would like it to be. Maybe you would even go as far as say, well, I don't really have any friends at this church. I would love it if everyone who attended Golden Gate just felt socially connected, personally, relationally connected. But I know it's not true. I would hope that a church or our church doesn't act that way intentionally. But churches are not perfect. I read an article in Christianity Today, a Christian magazine, that talks about statistics on why people leave churches and start looking for other churches. Some of the reasons they gave were they moved out of the area, they disagreed with the pastor, they didn't like the worship style, contemporary versus traditional or whatever. They said only 2% indicated they were looking for another church because they wanted more community. Only 2%. Now, I've been a pastor for almost 22 years. And I'm convinced the actual number, the actual percentage of people leaving church because they wanted more community is actually a lot higher than that, like way higher. The two reasons that people usually give me about why they're leaving my church is because they're moving out of the area because of a job transfer, or they got married and their spouse lives over there, okay? But the second is that they feel like they don't have community. Like all this other stuff about disagreeing with the pastor, they don't like my preaching, they don't like the worship stuff. People, you know, they just leave. They don't talk to me about it. Like, I don't like the way you preach, Pastor Jack. It's like, oh, thanks, okay? But I think a lot more people really leave because they can't find community. I think it's just easier to leave a church to say that you're dissatisfied with the preaching, you're dissatisfied with the doctrine or theology. It's more difficult to say you're leaving because you don't have friends. I mean, that's a really hard thing to say. It's difficult to say, I'm lonely here. I don't have any friends. So what should you do if you're not experiencing the kind of community that you want? I think you pray for the church. Just pray for your church faithfully. And I don't have any idea what your prayer life is like. I'm sure most people pray for themselves and their families and their own situations, but church should be right up there at the top. Pray for your church. Churches fall short. No church is perfect. So just simply pray that this church would be filled with the love of Jesus that would overflow into the lives of other people. That is the biggest and most important thing you can do when you're starting to feel like, wow, is this the church for me? Right? Pray for your church. The second thing you can do is examine yourself. And this is hard because you need to be honest with yourself. Are there patterns in your own life? Are there behaviors that you have that present obstacles to the community that you really desire? Maybe it's your work schedule, right? You have these crazy hours, right? Maybe the priorities in your life, you're putting certain things above church community, right? You never get down there. Maybe it's your personality. Maybe something about your personality holds people off at arm's length. Maybe it's your expectations. So take some time to examine yourself. Consider how maybe you can help make that situation better. Don't give up, even when it's difficult. Again, let me go back to an illustration about marriage. You know, when couples get married at the very beginning, it's sort of funny because I married a lot of people, done their premarital counseling. They'll sit in premarital counseling and they'll complain, have all these problems. They get married. It's like, oh, everything's wonderful and beautiful, right? Hey, you just complain about each other, okay? So, but, you know, everything's perfect right at the beginning of your marriage. Like the wedding day, the honeymoon, everything's perfect. You're singing Ed Sheeran's song perfect all the time, right? Got it on repeat, right? It's fresh, it's exciting, it's fun. But any married couple who's been married for some time will tell you that after some period of time, things are not so perfect. You finally discover what this person, that other person that you're living with, is really like. And all the stuff you talked about in premarital, you should have taken my advice, but you didn't, right? And so now, marriage is not so perfect. But do you give up on the marriage because you just don't fully enjoy your spouse? No. You stay because the institution of marriage calls for you to stay through thick and thin. Now, obviously, if there's some danger involved, then you should like separate. But we're not talking about that, okay? The institution of marriage calls us to be able to enjoy the activities through thick and thin. Same thing with church. Married people, they're two sinners coming together. Church is a bunch of sinners coming together, trying to do life together. And so we're not perfect. Things don't always work out perfect. But let's try it together. Pray for your church. Examine yourself. True community is never found by looking for it in the church. It can only be found by pursuing Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is what the church is all about. That's what I would tell a married couple who's in trouble. Right? Put Jesus at the center of your marriage. The problems you're having is because you're looking at yourselves, not towards Jesus. And that's what I would tell you if you're feeling a lack of community. Pursue Jesus. Go hard after him. Pursue him with all that you have. Because Jesus understands loneliness. Jesus understands lack of community. He hung on the cross alone. Yeah, there were two other thieves next to him, but they were strangers. He was deserted by his closest friends. He bore the shame of our sins. He knows what it's like to be ignored, to be abandoned, to be overlooked. Jesus knows all of that. That's why we pursue Jesus. Because through Jesus, the power of the gospel changes all that. He knows what you feel, even when you're lonely. We all need community, absolutely. But we need Jesus more. And that's what the church is all about. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you and just simply ask that you would help us to understand what it means to be church together, but more importantly, to be committed to a local church as a member, to be committed to this organization, this outpost, this embassy that you call us to, that our nation, our home nation is in the future. But in this present day, we live it in this embassy on this earth. And we represent our nation. We represent heaven. We represent the King of heaven. Help us understand that. Help us to embrace that. Help us to know that Jesus is the reason why this church even exists. For in his name we pray.